speak about the Sabbath of God today. Hebrews 4, 9 and 10 will be my text. Let me read it. It'll be projected as well. In the light of what Brenda just read, this is my focus. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Crucially important what's being said here. Let's pray. Oh Father, I pray that you enable me to preach clearly and well and under your unction this morning. I pray, Lord, that my humanity will even, Lord, be a wonderful boon to your glory. And I pray, Lord, that the hearing of your word will be enabled by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Simple question. I wonder how many of you can answer this. Why do we worship together on a Sunday? Why do we not have our holy day on a Saturday like the Jews do? Why don't we keep the seventh day? Now you may say, well, you know, it's not really a matter of what day you worship on. That's immaterial. It could be Sunday, Tuesday, Friday. The day isn't important. It's the getting together to worship that's important. What's the big deal, you may say? Why make it Saturday? Well, I wonder how many of you have thought about this. It's a very important thing to understand. In Exodus 20, we're clearly told, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. We're commanded, Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now let me remind you, this commandment, the fourth commandment, is part of the Decalogue. It's part of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are not like the old ceremonial laws of the Old Testament that are all done away with now in Christ. The Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, are relevant for all people, for all time. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, and so on. You can't break the Ten Commandments. They are relevant for all time. And the fourth commandment of the Decalogue is this one. You will keep the Sabbath holy. Now, if this is written in the Ten Commandments, why do we worship on a Sunday and not on a Saturday? It's a very, very important question. In fact, if you know the answer to this question, even before I tell you, you can be assured you've got a very good grasp of the Christian gospel. If not, let me put you out to your misery today. Why don't we worship Saturday? Doesn't the Ten Commandments say keep the Sabbath holy, the seventh day? It's very, very important. In fact, it's so important I could put it like this. You can't claim to be a Christian, a truly born-again child of God, unless you keep the Sabbath. You've got to hear me now. To be a Christian, you've got to be a keeper of the Sabbath of God. The gospel is all about the Sabbath. A true Christian is a Sabbath keeper. You cannot know the power of the world to come. Sorry about this. Unless you know the Sabbath. In fact, listen to Isaiah 56, verse 6. Listen to this. All who keep the Sabbath and do not desecrate it. These will be brought to God's holy mountain and have joy in the house of prayer. God's word tells us that those who are to be saved are those who keep the Sabbath. Now, if you've been following me so far, you might have a question in your mind. Hold on a minute. Isn't the Sabbath the seventh day? And if it is the seventh day that we're supposed to be keeping holy according to the tenth commandment, the fourth commandment, then aren't we as a church breaking the fourth commandment? If keeping the Sabbath is part of the Ten Commandments, we dare not break it. So what's going on? There's a cult known as the Seventh-day Adventists. How many of you know of them? Seventh-day Adventists. They teach that all churches that worship on a Sunday and not on a Sabbath day are Sabbath breaking churches. And they say we are all guilty of bearing the mark of the beast. I won't go into it all now, but we are all accursed under the mark of the beast for worshiping on a Sunday and not a Saturday. Doesn't that worry you a bit? How are we to answer that accusation? Keep the Sabbath day holy? We worship God on a Sunday. What did you yesterday? I spent a lot of time doing all sorts of things. I didn't keep Saturday holy. Did you? If you can only follow me and understand this passage that we have in front of us this morning, you will understand the gospel power of the gospel power of the Holy Sabbath. And you will understand the wonder of Christian faith in a new way. So you've got to stick with me, okay? Keep the Sabbath day holy? Ten commandments, one of the... If I break that commandment, I may as well break the commandment, thou shalt not kill. How are we in this church obeying the fourth commandment? Have I got you worried yet? The word Sabbath, in the Hebrew language, is the word Shabbat. Shabbat. Now, this is very important. The Hebrew word Shabbat means seventh, as in seventh day. But the word Shabbat also means rest. Shabbat has two different meanings. And those two different meanings to the one word are found in one verse in the Bible. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. And God, on the seventh day, by Yom HaShabbat, on the seventh day, Shabbat Elohim, rested God. By Yom HaShabbat, on the seventh day, God rested, Shabbat Elohim. Keep this in mind as I go on. The word Sabbath means seventh, but it also means rest. The Sabbath day can mean Saturday, the seventh day, but it can equally mean a day of rest. We need to understand both those renderings are equally valid. Now, in our reading for today, we're told something of vital importance. Here's, in this passage, what the Sabbath really means. As Brenda said just now, the psalmist, in this passage, has been referring back to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. And in Psalm 95, we're told about the Israelites and how the Israelites hardened their hearts and would not listen to God. So God in his anger swore that they would never enter his rest. Okay? That's what it says in Psalm 95. They will never enter my rest, God says. So now the writer to the Hebrews brings up this question. What is this rest of God? What does this rest mean that they will never enter into? And we're told here very clearly that the rest God is speaking of in Psalm 95 is not the rest that he took on the seventh day. We know it's not that. How do we know it's not the rest he took on the seventh day? Because the rest he's speaking of here is a rest that is yet to come. It's in the future tense in the Hebrew, and I swore they will not, future tense, enter future into my rest. So he's not speaking of the rest that happened on the seventh day, the writer's saying here, but a rest that is yet to come. It's a different rest. That's what the writer to the Hebrews is saying here. Now you may say, oh, but I thought that the rest he was referring to was the rest of the promised land. You know, when Joshua would lead them into the promised land and they'd have the promised land and that would be their rest? No. Look at verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day. This is crucial. His point is this. And all you have to do is get this and you'll understand the whole point of the passage. The holy Sabbath of God mentioned in this passage in front of us is not the rest of the seventh day referred to in Genesis 2 verse 2. It's not the rest of the promised land. It's a rest that was still to come. Look at our text now. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. There remains then a Sabbath rest to enter into. He's not talking of a day, because that day was past. He's not talking of the promised land, because that they already entered into when David wrote the Psalm 95. There remains, there still is, future tense, another rest that people are yet to enter into. That's the argument here. Did you get it? There's a rest that all those who want to be saved must enter into. There's a Sabbath rest for every true Christian. If you want to be saved, you must enter God's Sabbath. And it's not a day we're talking about here. It's not a piece of real estate in the Middle East. It's something else. So what is this rest that he's talking about? In fact, this rest was symbolized in shadow form by the holy seventh day. And by the promised land. Though the promised land and the seventh day are types. Shadows, foretellings of the rest that was to come. So what is this final rest that the Sabbath day symbolized and the Holy Land symbolized? What is the rest that remains? I feel sorry for Seventh-day Adventists. Because they get so tied up in their typology, they miss this beautiful rest that I'm going to share with you now. The rest of God. The Shabbat Elohim is this. To rest your weary soul on the finished work of Christ. The rest of God is to cast all your cares, all your guilty conscience, all your fear of the future on the finished work of the Lord Jesus. That's the rest of God that was yet to come, the rest that remains for people to enter into. Don't get tied up in stories of lands. Don't get tied up in certain days and counting Sabbaths. The rest is the finished work of Christ. In fact, if you want the words of Christ to tell you for himself, listen to this. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weak, weary, and heavy laden, and what? I will give you rest." Shabbat. Now, I know if you're not a Christian this morning, then you probably haven't got what I've said at all. You're probably thinking, oh, how can this man Jesus be rest? How can you get rest from a man? What, you know, it might not make sense to you. And I will tell you why it won't make sense to you. I'll say it with greatest of politeness because I really would love you to understand. The rest that Jesus offers is forgiveness. And if you don't realize how much you need to be forgiven, it's going to go way over your head. The rest that Jesus offers is peace. And unless you feel troubled and unstable and unsure, you will not know the peace or think you even need the peace that he offers. Jesus offers vision. And unless you realize that you're blind and you can't see the way, what he says is just going to go over your head. He offers meaning, direction, purpose, dignity, acceptance. And if you don't have a dire need of these things, then obviously what Jesus offers in his Sabbath will mean nothing to you. He offers rest for certain people. Oh, Jesus is very discriminating. Who does he offer his rest to? Those who are weak, weary, and heavy laden. Those who need rest. And this is the Sabbath of God. I can say this morning with all my hang-ups, and believe me, I've got a few, ask my wife. My rest, even in my darkest moments, is Jesus is my brother, and yet he's my God. He's my priest, he's my lamb, he's my guarantee of the Father's love. He's my advocate before a righteous judge, and he will never fail me. And you know, that's all the rest I need. I promise you, I don't need to worry about life assurance policies and all that. Jesus is my rest. Augustine of Hippo, how many of you have heard of Augustine? He lived about 1700 years ago, early church. He had a saying which I find very appropriate today. He said, "Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." Jesus is the Sabbath. This is the Sabbath rest for the people of God that's being mentioned in the book of Hebrews. But the best part is yet to come. You may be thinking, well, I'd love rest like that. Sometimes I drive myself crazy, stressing and worrying and, you know, and all the rest of it. What must I do to get this rest? What works must I do? How can I please God? How can I do, you know, certain things that is going to make him give me that rest? How do I earn this favor? The answer, you don't earn it. He gives this rest with no strings attached to anybody who will come to him broken and contrite and say, "Lord, I'm weak, I'm weary, I'm heavy laden. I don't know where to rest. I trust in you." He'll give you that rest free of charge. Look at what it says in verse 10. "For anyone who enters God's rest," oh, this is beautiful, especially if you're a legalist. "Anyone who enters God's rest rests from his own work, just as God did from His. If you're trying to be good, if you're trying so hard to please God and keep up standards and be better than anyone else, you can leave it all at the foot of Jesus. Come to Him just as you are, without any claim, and He will love you unconditionally. Rest from your labors in Christ. To rest in Christ is to no longer struggle with your righteousness. How many of you have struggled to try and be good? Come on, how many of you said, Lord, I can't do it. I promise in the morning I'll be good, and 3 days later, 3 minutes later, I trip over the cat and say something nasty. Why can I not be good? Lord, I keep trying and trying. Jesus gives you rest from your striving to be righteous by giving you His righteousness. He wraps it around you and you're perfect in the eyes of God. You can rest from all striving, legalistic striving. Maybe you feel guilty about all the things you've done wrong, and you know you deserve to be punished, and you know you ought to get what's coming to you. What goes around comes around. You can rest in this. Jesus took all your sins on the cross. He bore every sin. There is now no condemnation for those in Jesus. You can rest from your fear of punishment. Rest from your striving to be good. Maybe you're striving to work things out and figure things out, and how am I going to get there, and what have I got to do to achieve this and that? Rest in Jesus. He's in heaven right now, interceding for you every step of the way. He's working all things out to the ultimate good. Rest in His intercession. His prayer is for your blessing. This is the rest of God. And this is what the Jewish Sabbath day and the Holy Land were typologically foretelling. Okay, let me round off. Tell me this morning, in all honesty, do you know this Sabbath rest I'm talking about? Many people talk the Christian talk. I know, I've been around long enough. We think if we come to church on Sunday that we've ticked the boxes and we're Christian. Well, remember what I told you at the beginning of my sermon. I said, you can't be a true Christian unless you keep the Sabbath of God. Do you keep the Sabbath of God? Is your faith, in other words, in the finished work of Jesus Christ? Are you able to say this morning, it is well with my soul? Though peace like a river attendeth, though sorrows like sea billows roll, it doesn't matter what my lot is, it's well. I'm resting in the unconditional love, the atoning grace, and the intercession and the priesthood of my Christ. I'm resting in that. We need to realize the Sabbath day symbolizes the Sabbath who is Jesus Christ. And unless you know that Sabbath in your own heart today, unless you know I rest in that, I've got all problems, you may say, I've got all sorts of concerns, but I've got this inner rest when all is said and done. It is well. Let me give you a test to see if you've got that. I know you don't have to shout out, but see if you can qualify. Are you constantly striving to live a good life? Are you always trying and trying and working and getting frustrated because you never seem to be doing enough? Is that you? Are you laboring like crazy to be good? Do you often feel you're never good enough, no matter how much you try? You're always feeling guilty and condemned. Do you sometimes feel that you're making more promises to God than you can keep? You can't keep the promises you make, and you keep going round in circles. Do you sometimes feel that your Christian life is more of a chore, more of a duty than a joy? Because it's hard work to be a Christian. Well, if that's you this morning, there's a very strong possibility that you have not yet entered God's rest. Please hear me. because I know I give this message from God. I have no doubt about it. If you are on the Sabbath of God this morning, you will know that you know that you know. It is well. It is well with my soul. I don't have to strive and stress and panic and fear. You're complete in Him if you have this rest. I'll never forget the day it hit me. My first couple of years of trying to be a Christian were very difficult years. They were filled with guilt and striving and failing. I don't know if you've ever felt like that. Trying to be good, trying to keep up, trying to think good thoughts. You know, and yet every now and again the world just pulls you back again. And the day I realized the gospel for the first time, it was like, you know, the story in Christian when he sees the cross and the burden falls off his back. It was like that. I suddenly realized I don't have to prove myself. He loves me, and he loves me for all eternity, and I can rest in that. I pray that you know the Sabbath of God this morning. Okay, let me close. Why do we worship on a Sunday and not a Saturday? How many of you have Seventh-day Adventist friends? Okay, very lovingly, tell your friend this. In fact, what I'll do is I'll quote another old church father to give you the answer. There's a man called Justin Martyr. He lived 150 years after Christ, only a couple of generations after the resurrection. We've got some of his writings extant today. Let me quote you what he said about Sunday. Justin Martyr: "We Christians worship on the first day of the week and not the seventh day, because on Sunday morning Christ Jesus rose from the dead, making all the promises of Scripture completed." Now listen to this. "Because the Lord is risen, we have eternal rest in His finished work. Resurrection Day is our day of rest." Because I don't know about you, but I am resting on the resurrection of my Lord Jesus Christ in my name, for love of me, in promise and fulfillment of all He has said. Do you know the Sabbath rest of God this morning? Let's pray. I do pray that you, Holy Spirit, make this clear to us, because how we need to hear it, how we need to be reminded again and again that it's not about us. Oh God, we can promise you the world and we fail you. It's about your unmovable faithfulness in the Son Jesus Christ, His cross, His resurrection, His ascension, and His intercession. Thank you, God, that it's well with our soul. Amen.